He took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. A singer in a smoky room, a smell of wine and cheap.
Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus news radio show that strictly talks hockey. I'm not taking any calls tonight because we got a little guest on.
We do. Happy to have this guest coming back. Not going to get waste too much of her time. She's got an entirely busy life going on, as you'll find out shortly. I do want to ask, so Beans, how are you? I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. Yeah. You've been busy.
Got some rest.
Yeah, vacation.
Not really.
Vacation,
but got some rest.
From the show anyway.
Got some radio rest. Yeah. Did a lot of house stuff, so.
That's all right. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Can't complain, so.
No, nothing wrong with that at all. But let's bring in our guest. As I say, we're not going to waste too much of her time because she is an important guest to us. She is an Isabel Cup champion in the NWHL, won in 2017. She is a coach. She is a leader. She is an inspiration to many, especially the younger kids who live in and around Buffalo who go to her camps and certainly come out and see her. She is a professional hockey player, as we'll find out. She's back in the game as of today. Back in the game as we bring in none other than, as we fade out Journey and fade in, Miss Kelsey Roberts, or Kelsey Roberts, Kelsey Newman. I was looking at Calgary's lineup earlier today, and then that's what happens. I get the two Kelseys mixed. Kelsey Newman with us. How are you, Kelsey?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm good. Sorry about the mix up there.
That's okay.
I totally was eyeing up other Canada West rosters and was thinking and was talking about her earlier, and then I completely blew it here on the air. So there we go.
Not a problem.
Let's start at the beginning. Let's get caught up because you've been extremely busy since we last talked. Understand you were out in California for a while in this last year, playing a little hockey, having a little R&R out there. Tell us about the trip to the left coast and exactly what went on out there, because it sounded like you had a good time. You had a blast out there.
Oh, I had a great time. So I was actually born in California, and that's where my mom was born and raised. So anytime I get to go back is always fun. This time, unfortunately, we didn't get to see any family because we were in the Anaheim area for USA Hockey Nationals. And so I was out there with my North Carolina teammates, and we took third at the tournament, but it was still a lot of fun to get to play with all of my teammates. And then an added bonus was one of the 19U teams that I work with in Buffalo was also at the tournament. So I got to sneak away from my games and go watch one of their games and cheer them on and support them.
Best of both worlds, then. And how did they do?
I'm not 100% sure how they finished up, but They represented Western New York really well.
Right on. That's good to see then. At least everybody having a good time out there in Cali. You didn't get away from the rink at all to do some fun stuff, Disneyland or any of that stuff? No?
Well, so we actually stayed in a hotel that was maybe a 5-minute walk to downtown Disney. So When we weren't at the rink, we kind of walked around downtown Disney. But unfortunately, Disneyland, is out in California. A little too expensive, but it was still fun to get to walk around downtown Disney and everything like that.
That's cool. At least you got
to... obviously went to the staple In-N-Out while I was there.
Yeah, that's okay. That's
always got to go for those burgers.
Yeah, In-N-Out is a staple out there. So, yeah, no, that's not a problem. I was surfing through, sort of looking for information on the California trip, and I believe I caught the highlight of one of the Lady Hurricanes delivering a vicious check to another player over the boards. Who's the player that threw the hit, and what's up with the goonery there on out in California?
So, it really wasn't as bad as it looked, and I actually have a teammate, or I have a friend who's on that Anaheim team, and really what happened, my teammate Alyssa Hinkle went... Her and the Anaheim girl were both going for the puck, and I think the Anaheim girl kind of pulled up and saw that another girl was coming, and Alyssa just kind of finished following through with going to the puck. But since we got it on video, I sent it to my friend who was on the team the next day when we ran into them at the rink, and the girl who went over the boards was sitting right there, when I sent the video over. She's like, oh, my God, that was so much fun. It was so cool and so surreal. Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you're not hurt.
Yeah, no, that's usually the first thing that comes out of people's mind. Are you okay or not? Oh, man, that's so cool.
Yeah, no, she thought it was fantastic. The refs kind of let that game get out of hand. So
it looked like it was fun though. Like everybody was having a good time. Like there was no.
Oh, we were having a great time. I think it was a little late. That was, I think, in the second period. So a little later in the game, it got a little out of hand. But we still were having a great time. I think Molly Schaus was actually playing out on the other team.
Okay.
And at one point, her and I were sitting there just talking about how bad the refs were. So that was good.
Nothing like cutting down the stripes a little bit. Another big event happened over this last year, and we introduced him last time when you were on the show, so we'll introduce him a little bit again. Justice, your brother, who was sort of your inspiration into getting into the goalieing as well, he celebrated the big 3-0 this year.
He did.
How's he taking transition to middle age?
I think he's taking it well. His wife threw him a nice surprise party and everything, and he actually, it will be a month on Friday, just had his second baby girl. So,
oh, congratulations.
He's transitioning really well and surviving in a house full of girls.
That's still awesome, though. I mean, congratulations to him. I don't know if he's going to be listening or if he will listen to this, but congratulations anyway, Justice, on the new arrival. That's an awesome piece of news there. Did he do anything big, anything special for the 30th birthday?
I'm not 100% sure because he was in Alaska. I think his wife threw him a little bit of a surprise party. I know that she had a bunch of balloons tied to one of the dogs at one point.
That's all right.
A picture with a bunch of balloons around a dog. But I think they just did a surprise party and spent the night with his wife and Aurora before the new baby was born.
Right on. That's good for them. Congratulations once more, Justice, on the new edition. Always good to hear good news on this show about people that we've either heard about or certainly met. You're still coaching, though. Obviously, that's a big thing to you, doing the coaching work with all the kids in and around Buffalo. Something you enjoy. You checked in on former players this summer that were under your watch at one point while still training the next wave of players. Obviously, heavily involved on that side of the coin anyway. Pretty excited to work with one specific lady as well in Shelley Looney. What's it like working with the former Team USA head coach?
It was the best experience that I could have as a coach. And I was fortunate to work with her the last few years here in Buffalo. And we're definitely going to miss her at the Bisons organization, but we're also really excited for her to move into the college coaching world and everything like that. But I can't thank her enough for all the opportunities that she's given me as a coach and as a player, because without her, I wouldn't have had that opportunity, I don't think, to become a Beaut in the first time around.
If she calls, and not the saying this is going to happen ever, I don't know what her setup is, but if she calls, you going to Lindenwood with her?
What?
If she calls, would you go to Lindenwood with her?
I don't know if I could go to Lindenwood, but I wouldn't not think about it.
Okay,
but
that's fair.
So. No,
that's okay. Like I said, just a quick question there, because I know that Shelly's headed out, like you said, to college hockey now, going out to coach in Lindenwood. So congratulations to her as well. You guys also got a surprise visit this summer. Maybe you were a little bit more aware of it than the kids were, but Stanley Cup made an appearance at the coaching clinics you were at this year in Buffalo. How cool was that for all the kids that were there?
It was really cool for the kids and for us as coaches, because we actually didn't know.
Oh, congrats. That's
coming.
Even better.
Like, Shelly had no idea. She knew that camera crews were coming that day because a few of the kids had to get there early. And so we knew that there was going to be video. We didn't know. She didn't really give us insight as to what. And I don't know if she really knew what all was happening. And then next thing we knew, the Stanley Cup was coming out. And it was a really cool experience. And I personally got to meet Phil, who goes everywhere at the Cup, and build a friendship with him. And him and I actually communicate back and forth via email. He sent me an email today and everything. So I'm really grateful for that. And it was a really cool experience just to see how excited the kids got seeing the Stanley Cup. I know one of the teenagers put their puppy in the Cup. So they were living it up.
I was going to say, there's been lots of stuff in the Cup this summer from what we've seen so far. So
a lot of Italian food.
Yeah, puppies don't seem like it's that bad at this point, so that's okay.
No.
There was some excitement, and I think this is a big thing because, I mean, for us, we rarely ever get to say good things about, you know, about, well, we say lots of good things about women's hockey, but rarely about about new entries anyway, because it never really happens that often. So women's hockey fans probably going to be pretty excited this year about New York's newest entry into the Division I NCAA ranks. The Long Island University Sharks announced their first recruiting class for women's hockey recently, which is incredible. So good on them for getting a program and getting into the NCAA. But after seeing teams in Niagara and North Dakota axed over various reasons, mostly because of budgets, how big is it for women's hockey to get another NCAA team, Division I team anyway, in New York, and then overall for the sport, do you think?
I think it's great for the growth of women's hockey in general to bring in another D1 program, because it's just showing that even though we've had two go away over the last however many years, that it's still a growing sport and still something that we need more teams for, with the growth of the youth game, to make sure the girls always have a place to play after they're done with their 19U years.
Looking at the number of teams that are in New York, I believe this would be the eighth team, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of NCAA. Having the options obviously is big. Having one in New York City, or at least very close to New York City, seems to be something that's been missing for a long time. Would you agree there?
I think that it has, because I think that everyone thinks, you know, like Buffalo, we have a lot of hockey and everything like that. And I think people at times forget that there is, like, hockey that's growing in areas like Long Island and the city. And those girls need teams like the Riveters and now this college to come in and show them, like, hey, this is what you can work towards without having to drive 8+ hours to go watch a game live.
And I think that's, I mean, yeah, that's a huge thing, considering that, you know, it's going to be local for fans, which will be great to see if they want to go out and support it. Hopefully they will go out and support it as well. See the Long Island team really sort of build something good there under Rob Morgan, which will be a good setup there.
Mm-hmm.
Something else.
And Rob's a great guy. So.
Well, I was going to say, if you know, I mean, I know Rob just from his work in the CWHL, obviously with the Chinese teams, and when he was working over in Vanke and in Kunlun. But I mean, if you know, I mean, again, if you know a little bit more about him, by all means, do you want to talk a little bit about Rob?
Oh, yeah, no, like it's funny because I ran into Rob when I was watching my 19U's at Nationals.
Okay.
And I was talking with him, and it turns out Rob, when I was going through my college recruiting process, Rob gave me the tour of Dartmouth.
Oh.
And then my 19U goalie, who is going to be going to Yale after her senior year, I guess Rob helped with her recruiting process in some way. And so her dad was standing there, and he came over to talk to Rob. And I was like, oh, yeah, Rob recruited me a little bit when I was Mia's age, and then Mia's dad was like, oh yeah, he recruited Mia. So it was a nice circle there. But no, Rob's always been a really great guy and great family.
Good for Rob. I mean, that's nice that he's still in the game. I mean, not saying that you've been out of college hockey for that long, but certainly seeing that full circle.
Oh no, I have.
No. Okay, I wasn't going to admit to it, but okay. But seeing that full circle from Rob is kind of cool there. Mm-hmm. Something else you did fun this past year that I don't know if people are aware about. I mean, they probably were if they followed your social media accounts, but there was some serious NHL and AHL fun in North Carolina this spring. So let's start with the bunch of jerks and their run to the Eastern Conference Final. How much fun, because you went to a game, at least one game I know of, how much fun was it watching the Hurricanes defy the odds and make a run for the Stanley Cup?
Honestly, it was a blast being able to root for the Hurricanes the whole season, and then to be able to root for them into the off season was even better, and especially being on the women's Lady Hurricanes, we felt even more connected to it because they have done a lot for our women's team and for the growth of the women's game and the girls' game in general. So it was really cool to be able to root for them, and we kind of jumped on the Bunch of Jerks bandwagon there, and we actually had shirts made up for Nationals that said Bunch of Lady Jerks.
And
so, yeah, but, like, going to game two, even though they lost, it was still a really great experience to go with my dad and just watch them live and watch the atmosphere of the playoff game and everything.
I mean, I got to ask, because, I mean, we see it on TV and we kind of, you know, I mean, not that we you know, not that we're shrugging our shoulders or anything. I mean, we've had playoffs here in Winnipeg as well. But, I mean, we see the craziness that goes on. It's almost, I mean, surreal to see some of the stuff going on, the you know, tailgating and the you know, the whole thing with the pig that they kept rolling in and certainly getting that going. Like, is it party central when there's a Hurricanes playoff game?
From what I know, so we actually went to a game in game two of the Eastern Conference was in Boston. So we didn't get to experience the full-blown Carolina tailgate and everything. But from what I know from my friends that have gone and teammates and everything like that, it is a party. It's a huge party. The pigs. One of my teammates, actually, a former teammate, was, I don't know if you remember seeing that a fan said they would get a tattoo of, I want to say she got it of the pig, but that was one of my former teammates that ended up getting the pig tattooed on her as if they won the game or there was some bet involved.
Yeah.
And she did it.
Wow. So, that's not bad at all.
Buy-in.
The fact that she followed through and actually got it, good on her. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
There were some heroes that emerged, people who may not have been aware of who the Hurricanes were before the Bunch of Jerks moniker by Don Cherry kind of came out. There were some heroes that emerged, though, and certainly made the Bunch of Jerks a little bit more lovable. Guys like Warren Fogle, Nino Niederreiter, obviously, Curtis McElhinney came through and obviously played really well in the playoffs. We know, again, you're a goaltender, but we got to ask, which non-net-minding player was your favorite jerk in this year's postseason run?
That's really hard because watching all of them was great, but so I don't think I can really pick one. I know all of them had great games. Like you got Williams, Mr. Game 7, and that was great, and love watching all of them. And it was really nice, though, because Nino actually sent us and the girls' Hurricane team that went to their own Nationals, sent us each a video wishing us good luck at Nationals and everything like that. So that was really cool. So I guess I'm going to go with Nino will be my favorite.
Nino, nice. I like it. So, I mean, it sounds like, and again, I'm not taking anything away from, you know, from relationships that other teams have, you know, anywhere else, but it sounds like the Hurricanes have a pretty tight relationship to the entire hockey community in Raleigh and around North Carolina. Would that be correct?
Yes, I would say that they do. And it seems to have grown even more, so it's fantastic to see.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is that happening recently because of the whole Tom Dundon thing, or has it always been like that? But if it's growing even more, that's fantastic for the growth of hockey in North Carolina.
And it seems like with the girls game, it's happening more and more. I know they did a game where the players had shirts made up with players from the girls team's last names and numbers on the back, and they wore them at like workouts and things like that, and then I'm assuming that they wash them. I don't know, it wasn't in the tweet. But and then the girls all went to the game the next day and they got to meet which player was wearing their shirt and things like that. So they definitely do an excellent job of supporting and growing the women's and the girls' games.
That's fantastic. Good on them, and certainly good on if that's a Tom Dundon thing or somebody else coming down the line there, good on whoever started that up, because it seems like they have a great, great relationship now with everybody in the state that's playing hockey. Speaking of that, from the Hurricanes, we moved to Charlotte. People may know that Charlotte had some good times in the postseason this year in the AHL Calder Cup playoffs as the Checkers went through and actually won the Calder Cup and had a parade through Charlotte. Congratulations to them on that. So we got to ask, and we, despite the fact that, you know, Minnesota claims to be the state of hockey, is North Carolina, is that the new state of hockey circa 2019?
I'm not going to steal the state of hockey from Minnesota just because it is Minnesota, and I've seen the development of hockey at, it feels like, every level out of Minnesota.
Sure, yeah.
So I can't take that away from them, but I do think that North Carolina for the southern states is definitely the southern state of hockey, I would say.
That's not bad. I think there's a chance to certainly grow into that moniker for sure. Did you get a chance to see any of the Charlotte celebration there?
I didn't. I was still in Buffalo.
Oh,
unfortunately.
That's all right.
I know, it would have been nice. I'm only like an hour from Charlotte.
Yeah,
I was hoping that I could have came home for a game, but didn't seem to pan out.
Well, that's all right, though. Hopefully this year you can see them raise the banner at some point, or at least the banner hanging in their rink at some point this year. That'd be
that
good
would be really cool.
Yeah, so AHL Calder Cup champions, Charlotte Checkers, which is always good to see. Last time we spoke, and this is going to be something sort of getting a little bit more serious now. Last time we spoke, you were just getting into your role as an ambassador for Lift the Mask, a mental health website for goaltenders who may be looking for some help or some resources. Obviously, lots of stuff changed. They have a whole bunch of stuff going on. They're doing a lot of great work there. But how is that work going, and what exactly is new on that front for people that may not be keeping up with that side of the charity?
It's going great. I was actually able, when I went out to Colorado at the end of May, I was able to meet fellow pro ambassadors, Liam Kavanaugh and Ben Messner, and actually formally meet Justin Goldman, who started the whole thing. And it was just amazing to get to meet them and listen to them share their stories and everything like that. And Justin actually told me a few days ago about something new that we're going to be launching and starting with Lift the Mask, and it's a partnership for coaches. So coaches anywhere can partner with Lift the Mask and donate $1 per private lesson or a clinic that they run to Lift the Mask. And the coach who raises the most money will get to join those of us that get invited to Breckenridge for the Global Goalie Retreat the following year.
That's all right in terms of helping raise a little money there. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And it's great because it seems like there's a lot more ambassadors now and things like that. And it's been amazing just to see how it's grown in such a short amount of time.
And so this grew out of the Goalie Guild, which, again, is another great resource if people are looking for some information out of it. It's grown out of that in terms of getting everything going. But, I don't know what it's – I don't know what the information is. I don't know what the setup is. But do you have any numbers? Like, are there a lot of people hitting the site, checking it out, you know, maybe asking for help? Or is that stuff that's sort of off your radar?
I don't really have a number, but I know that there are a lot of people that are reaching out, whether it's that they need help or they're reaching out for resources to help someone else or to become an ambassador. So there's definitely a lot of movement going on within the site and the goalie community, and it's been amazing just to see how much it has grown.
So, I mean, speaking from your own experience then, I mean, you know, how has Lift the Mask helped you as an ambassador and certainly somebody who can, you know, champion the program? How has it helped you in terms of some of the struggles that you've had?
Honestly, it's been a huge help for me between being able to mentor other people and talk with other people, whether it's about my story or their stories, and just listening. It's been extremely helpful. And when I was out in Colorado, we actually did a panel discussion with all of us, and we let people ask questions, but it started with everyone just kind of listening to our own stories, with whether we wanted to share our whole story or parts of our stories. And for me, that really helped, just listening especially to Liam and Ben and some of the other people that were talking on the panel share their stories out loud really helped me grow more comfortable with starting to share my story. I'm not fully ready to share my full story and stuff yet, but it's really helped me cope with, okay, I'm starting to get ready to share the whole story and things like that. So it's been extremely helpful.
That's extremely good then. That's what we want to hear, that things are slowly getting a little bit easier for you. Certainly not something that you have to battle on your own if that's the case then.
Right. That's something that I think Robin Lehner, when he was at the NHL Awards, I think that he said it best when he went up to get his award and everything. I think him saying, like, I'm not okay, but that's okay. I think that's really a big step for everyone to really see, like, okay, this is something that needs to be talked about. And now people are starting to really feel comfortable with that.
I was going to ask you about that because Robin Lehner, again, champion, you know, sort of some mental health and certainly the struggles that he went through were well documented this year based upon, you know, what he revealed publicly anyway. Looking at that, I mean, obviously Robin can be, you know, sort of the icon, sort of the face, I guess, for some of the mental health stuff that's going on. But when you look at all the stuff that Robin went through and certainly some of the stuff he's struggling through, and certainly, again, if you've read the article, Ben Messner wrote that incredible article on the Players Tribune about how close he was to sort of taking his own life. It's pretty scary. Do you sort of look at these two now and kind of go like, man, like, we're so happy to have them because they can actually tell their stories. Because I don't know if anybody would be that comfortable like Ben was writing it all down. And certainly, you know, maybe it was a little bit therapeutic to him. But I mean, now that he can sort of tell the story, is that easier for you now to sort of take on your own battle that way?
I think it has been. It's like I read Ben's story, and that was right before Lift the Mask started, and so was Leonard's story, and I read both of them, and I was like, wow, there's parts of their stories that, like, I really relate to and things like that, and so that was the first step, and then Lift the Mask came about, and I was like, I really want to be a part of this, so I went to Justin and jumped right into it, and then, like I said, getting to meet Ben and Liam and listening to what they were sharing of their stories and everything was just, like, really eye-opening. And I was like, okay, I know I'm not ready to share my full story, but
right.
I'm going to share bits and pieces of the story with a group of a ton of strangers that were from all over the world and everything like that. And I'm going to share bits and pieces. And it was the first time that I shared some of it. And it was really, it was like a weight off your shoulders. And definitely a lot goes to the fact that people like Ben and Robin Leonard and even Clint Malarchuk with his book were brave enough and able to share those stories publicly with us really helps, opens your eyes.
I got to ask, because, again, you revealed some pretty heavy stuff on our show last time you were here, and certainly we, like I said, it was totally on to you. You didn't have to say a word if you didn't want to, but you made the decision. Was that, do you feel okay about that still? Is that something that you're okay with?
I am okay with it.
Okay.
I had told myself that was something that I wanted to share last time because
right.
it needed to get out there and it needed to be said. It was a weight off my shoulders. And then I had the chance to actually confront the coach when I was out in California, and it's been 10 plus years, and I went right up to him. I shook his hand. I congratulated him for an excellent season last year, and he couldn't look me in the eye. So I was like, well, you know what? I did what I had to do to let it go. And since that moment, I think I've been a way happier person since I shared with you guys on the last show, and then just facing the coach head on and things like that. And it's been a big weight off my shoulders, I think.
I'm not going to make light of the fact that, you know, he couldn't look you in the eye, because I mean that's a pretty significant moment, I guess, for you in terms of just what's gone on. But do you kind of go, I'm glad I made peace with it, when you see that kind of reaction that he has? Because it sounds like maybe he hasn't.
Right, and that's exactly what it was. And
okay,
my dad witnessed the whole thing, and my dad was like, well, he couldn't even look you in the eye, so that speaks to his character, not yours. And I had a game to play that night, and I was like, I don't even care that. I was like, yeah, I care that he couldn't look me in the eye, but at the same time, like, I know what I did, and I know how he responded, and how he responded is how he wants to respond, and I am okay with it.
I got to say that, I mean, if you had asked, and I would have done it for sure, if you had asked and said, you know what, can you pull off the audio for the last time that was here because you weren't comfortable with it anymore, I would gladly do that for you. But the fact that you have not only stomped on it and made it, you know, into something that you can stand on now and yell out to everybody that, you know, some of your story anyways, you know, that to me looks like you've made huge progress, Kelsey. And I mean, I'm no analyst, I'm no, you know, therapist, I don't know anything about, you know, the psychology side of it, but to me, you do sound happier.
Thank you. There's been a lot of good things happening the last few weeks, too, so that helps.
Okay, that's good, too. Certainly the happy parts are going to make things better. Moving on a little bit more, you got to meet arguably, I know he may have he may have some problems with this, but arguably the lesser of the goaltending tandem in their household when you were at a camp with Ben Scrivens.
Sorry, Ben.
but seriously, how cool is it to meet Ben? And you know, did he give you any tips? Did he give you any sort of pointers, instructions on how to play the game when you got to meet him?
Well, so it's funny because it was the last night of the retreat, and Lev, Allie Morris, who just signed with the Whitecaps to play with Lev, and I were sitting, and Lev and I knew we had to go do a McLevman thing, and Allie was joining us. And I was like, that guy in the back looks really familiar. And so I was walking by, and I think I asked Justin, I'm like, who is that? Why does that guy look familiar? And he was like, oh, it's Ben Scrivens. And I was like, oh. Do you think he would take a McLevin photo with us? He was like, you would have to ask him. I'm like, no, I can't ask him. Like, I don't know that. I don't know him. He played in the NHL. Like, no, I can't do that. And so we asked the one coach that he came to say hi to. And the coach actually was like, yeah, he'll do it. And so he came out. He took a picture with us wearing our full goalie equipment.
That is awesome.
And, yeah, it's beautiful. There's a beautiful mountain behind us. He thought it was hilarious. And then later that night, all the coaches and goalies that were at the retreat were just hanging out. And it was really cool just to be able to talk to them about so many different things. And I can't even remember all the things that we talked about, but just being with him and like talking with him, and he was just like any one of us, and it was just great to see that interaction.
So there was a McLevin, for those who don't know, reunion, as you just mentioned.
Oh, there's been a few.
There's been a handful in terms of getting everything together. But you and Amanda LeVay got together in Minnesota for sure, at least in Colorado together for sure. I got to ask.
We had three out of our four for the summer.
Oh, there's a fourth one still planned? Is that what you're saying?
It's her wedding.
Oh, congratulations to her. That's awesome. So I got to ask then, because, I mean, it seems to be one of those things where, you know, it brings back all the memories. How much crying is actually seen at the airport when you guys reunite? And what kind of mischief do you get up to when you're not on the ice, when you're in her home state of Minnesota or in Colorado, for example?
So fun fact, and Lev might kill me for this, but so Lev doesn't cry. But yet, when I was doing the math discussion panel, I apparently struck a chord with one of my comments and almost got her to cry. So she came up to me afterwards, because she was obviously there for moral support and to listen and everything. And she came up to me and she kind of slapped me. I was like, you jerk, you almost made me cry. And I was like, you don't cry. So she doesn't cry. So there were no tears. However, there was definitely a lot of funny texts and phone calls that occurred, both in Minnesota and Colorado, while we were trying to find each other through the airport. So that's always fun.
You guys know there's a board up there that says where your plane's coming in, right?
So for Minnesota, it was fine. It was more just saying, like, okay, Lev, where are you parked right now?
He was
picking me up. For Colorado, her and Allie flew in at one time, and I think my flight got in shortly after theirs. And then Liam was picking us up, but we were trying to, like, the Colorado airport was so big that we were trying to figure out, like, okay, what terminal are you in? How can we all get to the same terminal so that Liam doesn't have to drive around the whole airport? So that was entertaining for all of us.
Yeah, Minnesota's got a crazy airport, too. There's like five different terminals there. So hopefully...
Right, but when it's only one person, it's fine.
Yeah.
You just say, hey, I'm at this terminal, and then she just has to figure out where I am.
That shouldn't be too... Hopefully it wasn't too hard for her. So got you in safely, which is the important part.
Exactly.
Looking at everything else that's going on, because I know you're getting close to going back anyway. How excited are you that school year's starting and you get back into the classroom?
I'm really excited, especially because I am actually starting at a new school.
Oh, congratulations.
This was my week off between jobs. I ended with my refugee students. My last day with them was last Thursday. And it was bittersweet. I've been with some of them the whole time that they've been students at that program, and they not all of them grasped that I wasn't going to be there this month, like Monday when they came back, and that I was going to be in North Carolina, and then they still wouldn't see me when I got back from North Carolina. But I'm grateful for that experience, and I'm really excited because I'll be starting at a relatively new charter school in the Buffalo area, and I will be working with second graders. So I'm excited to learn from the kids now.
A little bit of back and forth in terms of learning a little bit more there. Obviously, you got the experience working with the refugee students, as you were saying. Learned a lot about their cultures and certainly a lot about them. But yeah, grade two students are going to be an entirely new ball of wax for you.
Oh, they're going to be great. And I think that's helpful that I coach so much, because I've been asking kids and their siblings, I'm like, so, like, you're in second grade, or your siblings in second grade, what do you learn? What's going on? And so, like, tomorrow I'm picking up my god sister and surprising her and taking her to the park and stuff, and she's going into second grade, so probably going to grill her for some information about what she wants to learn.
A little scouting on the side there.
Build my lesson plans around that.
A little scouting, I like it, in terms of getting ready for that. Are you doing all, obviously, grade two, you got you know, class all day in terms of what's going on. What's excited? What are you excited to teach? What's the one subject that you're like, that's where I'm gonna take it to a new level?
I don't know. It's really hard to like decide. I know it's probably not going to be math. That one's probably not going to get taken to the next level. I think reading. I think I'm most excited for reading just because during the interview process for getting a teaching job was rather intense, and I had to do a demo lesson at one point, and I was with second graders, and I just remember I'm doing this demo lesson, and I'm so used to my refugee students who were, some of them were at like the end of first grade with their reading, but they didn't want to verbally express what they were reading and talk about it. So when I was doing my demo lesson, I was really like in awe of how much the kids actually talked and responded and answered questions. And I was like, oh my God, this is what it's supposed to be like. So I'm really excited for that one.
Before we move on sort of the next topic here, just one last question about your refugee students. Are they ready? Are they ready to go out into the big world now and conquer life? I expect that the teacher's got them ready, that she's a pretty good teacher and she knows what she's doing. But how confident are you? How excited are you to see them sort of go out there and do well?
I think that they would be ready. And it's nice because the program that I was teaching in, like, I was a level one teacher. So there's four different levels. So it's nice because once they pass, I don't want to say pass the test, but they score a certain score on their test that they're going to be taking in the next 2 weeks. If they score a certain score, they move into the level two classes. So I had a lot at the beginning of summer that actually moved up, and then I got a few new students, but I think that all of them should be moving up in the next round, if not the round of tests after. So I think they're pretty well set. I made their lessons a little different than I think the typical ESL lessons are, so gave them a lot of different perspectives.
That's okay, though. I mean, as long as they get they're ready to go for the next level, they should be doing okay then. So congratulations on obviously getting them to the next level, because that's a fantastic job.
Thank you.
If you're just tuning in, folks, we got about 23 minutes remaining here on the show, here on the Hockey Show. We're not taking a break today because we do have Kelsey Newman on, returning guest, who we are just getting caught up with. Let's break into hockey now, because there's a lot to talk about there, as the entire earth shifted over this summer for professional women's hockey. So we'll jump from the happy to a little bit less happy. Got to ask you the big question. What was your reaction when you heard that the CWHL was shutting down just 1 week after the Calgary Inferno won the Clarkson Cup?
That was definitely a shock, I think, to everyone, whether you played in the NWHL or the CWHL or college. I think everyone was just in shock. And I remember I got a lot of texts and a lot of questions from parents and friends, and they're like, oh, my God, what does this mean? And I was like, I don't know what this means. And to then learn that, like, none of them knew that it was coming and that it was a shock for the players that were still in that league was even more mind-boggling, I think, to me.
So, I mean, looking at that reaction, and we've gone over this ad nauseum here on the show because we talk women's hockey a lot, but the way it was handled seemed to be less than ideal, certainly, and it seemed to catch everybody by shock. We've talked to a few people from the CWHL. Looking at everything that's gone on and everything that's happened, so with players sort of deciding to do whatever they want now, there's been some push to try and get the NHL on board. There's been some push to get other investors on board. Would you like to see, just from your experience in Buffalo, certainly in North Carolina, working with a couple of, well, at least near a couple of NHL teams, would you like to see the NHL involved in women's hockey in the future?
I think that it would definitely be a good step for them to get involved at some point. I don't know that. I think obviously right now everyone, it's hit or miss on if it would be great right now. I know there was a message sent out by the league about saying if there's anyone that wants to invest and take over, then they can. And obviously the NHL didn't step in for that. So I think right now they have a lot more on their plate than fans are probably aware of and things like that. But I think at some point in the future, that NHL getting more involved would be great. And I know that they are involved to a certain degree already, and they were involved with the CWHL as well before the boycott or the folding and everything. So I think right now it's on the right track.
So it was announced today, for those who may have missed the announcement, it was announced today that you, Kelsey Newman, have signed a new deal to return to the NWHL's Buffalo Buttes for 2019-2020. Congratulations on the new contract, first of all. That's awesome news.
Thank you.
Secondly, what are you most excited about this season then?
I'm excited to, A, be back with the Buttes, obviously, and be back in the NWHL. But I think I'm most excited. One thing, obviously, that people are probably going to question is if I'm excited to possibly play against Love. Yes, because we are best friends. So I am excited to have that opportunity, but also just being a part of the team again and having the girls that have already signed, I'm excited to get on the ice with them and things. I know the other goalie was at the tryout camp with me, and her and I were having a great time on the ice, just joking around and talking and stuff. So I'm excited for the dynamic that our team seems to have already.
I gotta ask, because it's, and again, this is gonna sound more negative than it actually is, but I'm pretty sure you know where it's gonna, you know what I'm getting at here. But last season, the NWHL's Buffalo team was under different management altogether, completely different setup. Pagula still ran it in terms of them owning the team and everything. They kind of left you and a number of other players sort of out in the cold after making some personnel changes. Did that even factor in when it came to this decision to go back?
At first, before the Pagulas gave the team back to the NWHL, I was definitely on the fence about wanting to go to the tryout camp. I didn't even know if they were going to have one or whatever. I was definitely on the fence, and then the Pagulas gave them back, and I was like, oh, well, that's really interesting. I wonder what's going to happen. And then when I saw that Mandy was signed as the GM, I know that I had conversations with her in the past over Instagram about camps and coaching and stuff, and I was like, well, that's interesting. And I had talked with her, and I actually went and I skated with her one time because I had been wanting to skate with her and stuff. And so after I had met her in person and everything, I was like, there's no way if I have the opportunity to go to a tryout camp that I'm not going to go, because I could tell right away that it was going to be a different dynamic than what the management seemed to have been previously.
So, I mean, obviously you have a stake in exactly what Buffalo is doing in the city in terms of, you know, promoting women's hockey and promoting other stuff around the game of women's hockey. You're still a coach in the city. You still have, is any of that going to be sort of reeled in with you having to travel now, with any of you having to, you know, with you having to, you know, do some of the appearance work that the team is going to require you to do? Or are they just going to let you do what you do best and coach and inspire young girls and continue on being that role model for all of these different age groups of women?
I'm hoping that they allow me to keep doing what I'm doing. I think that it's also helpful, especially because we are going to have a lot of new faces, since even right now I think Fui and I are the only returning players so far that the fans and the kids in the area know. So I think that if I can keep doing that, my goal is to also bring in some of the other girls and have them help out or come and meet the players that I coach, because now I started my own coaching business in Buffalo, and I work with the local teams, and then I also mentor kids all over the country and everything. But I'm hoping that I'm able to like bring players in and be like, hey, like, this is a player for you guys that are forwards to look up to. This is a defenseman to look up to, and kind of blend both worlds in a way.
So you mentioned Mandy in terms of Mandy Cronin being the GM, obviously Pete Parham, coming in as being the coach. What do you know about the two of them? You have some familiarity with Cronin. You were saying, do you have any familiarity with Pete?
I got to meet him at the free agent camp, and definitely one of the nicest guys and coaches I think I've met, and just super, super relaxed. And he was really easy to get along with from the first hellos and everything. So I'm really looking forward to playing for him and working with him. He was both him and Mandy were on the ice the second day of camp and just watching them run the ice session and the intensity that everyone brought with both of them out there was just fantastic to see.
So you were the 2016-2017 NWHL Foundation Award winner, which a lot of people may not be aware of in terms of some of the I guess the accolades that you've picked up there. The Foundation Award given to the player most actively applying the core values of hockey to your community as well, or to her community, as well as growing and improving the hockey culture. Are we going to see maybe the first two-time winner of the Foundation Award here with your work that you're going to try and keep doing? Because to me, it seems like a no-brainer to let you continue doing what you're doing.
That would be, I'm not going to say that I would be opposed to that, but I'm also not going to say that that's what's going to happen. It would be nice, but at the same time, I'm sure that a lot of the girls coming in are also going to want to jump right into the community that Buffalo has to offer and stuff, just like I did when I first moved to Buffalo. It was like a no-brainer that I wanted to be a part of that community and things like that, even before I was a Butte. So I think once girls get to Buffalo and get interacting with fans and stuff, I think it'll be a no-brainer that they want to do as much as they can to help give back and work with the youth in the area and everything.
So you had tryout camp, as you were saying. You went to tryout camp was it last weekend? Is that correct? Or 2 weekends ago?
It was about 2 weekends ago.
How did that go for you? Like, for people that don't know, what is tryout camp like for players who just want to come in and give it a shot?
I don't know if it's different for the other teams. I don't know if they're ran the same or not. Okay. But for us, it was, I had to register online, and then I showed up at camp, and I got ready. It was a two-day camp, so we were on the ice Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, they had Grant Ledgard, who I'm actually pretty good friends with because I help him with Amherst goalies during the season. So he was running the practice and everything, and Coach Pete and Mandy were sitting up in the stands watching us and evaluating us. And then the next day, Pete and Mandy came on the ice, and they ran us through the drills, and we did some small games and things like that, and just high intensity, high tempo, making sure they're checking players' skating abilities, the goalies' movement abilities. We actually did, this was, I think last year we did a little bit of goalie stuff, but this year we actually had about 10, 15 minutes when the players were doing warm-up skating where the goalies were actually doing goalie movement. And the second day, especially, Mandy was on the ice with us running us through goalie drills and things like that. So it was a really well-ran camp, I thought.
Well, that's good to hear then. At least, camp got off to a good start. Obviously, the end result is good as well. You got signed. It looks like you are going to be in tandem this year with Mariah Fujimagari. Do you know anything about Mariah?
I do. So she was the goalie that was at camp.
Yep.
And Mariah and I actually, prior to the CWHL draft last year, we had skated once together at Markham.
Oh.
And I met her then and everything. And so then when I went and I skated with Mandy for a goalie clinic, Mariah was there also. We talked a little bit. We talked about McLevin and things like that. And then she was at camp. And so her and I really clicked right away, it seemed. And really all the goalies that were at camp, we all seemed to really click. But Mariah and I were joking right off the bat and everything like that. So I'm excited to get to skate with her and be in a goalie tandem with her.
So with everybody sort of dispersing off that McLevin sort of, I mean, not that you guys aren't going to be friends and certainly keep the fun up, but are we talking maybe a new Fujiman kind of tandem now?
Lev and I decided a long time ago that we would never change the McLevin name.
Okay, that's fair, yeah.
So it's always going to be McLevin. We just like to bring goalies into it.
Yeah.
Just because it's a unique name and everyone knows it as that, and we already have a hashtag.
That's true.
So why do more work? So it's one of those things where we haven't really discussed the aspect of us being on separate teams and playing against each other and how that McLevin will work, but we've always agreed that no matter what, we would keep that name going.
Buffalo's got a little bit of, you in Buffalo anyway, will have a little bit of a mantle to carry, as the last two goaltenders of the year for the NWHL have both been from Buffalo, including Amanda. Shannon was there last year. Shannon Zabados was there last year. She won the goaltender of the year. Is it time for a three-peat for Buffalo? Are you going to put on the show this year and wow everybody?
I mean, I would be wrong to say that that's not the goal. I think that I think that's everyone's goal, and I know that it's going to be stiff competition, but that's definitely the goal. Is to try to at least get my name in the hat for the running of that.
There you go. That's just get in the running, and then everything else can happen after that. That's important.
Exactly.
Obviously, and again, this is going to be sort of a tougher question now, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but I'm going to have to put you on the spot a little bit. Obviously, a lot of players not coming back just due to the various reasons that people have, and certainly, you know, everybody has their own reason for doing everything. But is there one player, aside from obviously Amanda in Minnesota, is there one player that you're sort of looking forward to that you haven't played against yet?
I mean, probably Murphy.
Okay.
Probably Colleen, because
yeah,
we've played together. We played together in high school. We've been friends. That came up on my Facebook the other day for like 12 years, and she's one of my better friends. So I think that will be fun to play against her, and I'm hoping that if I am playing against her, that she gets some shit set forward and I get to maybe trip her. it's just going to be payback for whenever she scores on me when she's playing defense for me. So it's okay.
Let's be honest. She's not going to score on you this year, though. So, I mean, maybe that's the only...
that's the goal.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only interaction she has.
That is the goal, for her not to score on me.
Just tell her. Keep her head up. That's all she got to worry about in terms of skating by the net. That's all.
Keep that head up, Murph. No, but I do think it would be fun to play against her, just because we have such a good friendship and everything, and she's not a goalie. So.
No, and I mean, I think that's going to be, I mean, that'll be fun as well, because I'm sure there'll be a long-running, sort of year-long rivalry there between you two in terms of how many points are scored and who did what against whom. So that'll be fun in terms of getting that going. Is there any team right now that you're, I mean, again, the rosters aren't filled, and certainly there's still time to fill rosters. Is there any team right now that you're looking at going, they're the team, that's the team that we're going to have to beat if we want to win the cup this year?
I honestly think that it's Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I think Lev plays a big role in that. So
She is a pretty good goaltender. She did win that goaltender of the year 2 years ago playing with somebody.
Oh, she's a great goaltender, and she's someone that I actually, so the last time that we met up, it was 4th of July. I went up to Kingston, where she's from, and she was in town visiting her parents, and I came up because I just needed to get away and I had the day off of work, so why not drive 5 hours? and obviously we did some McLevin and things like that, but we also jumped on the ice together and trained with her goalie coach back home, Mike Murphy, and who actually works with my goalie coach, Rob Wisco. So it was a lot of fun to get back on the ice with her, and it wasn't that we were like competing against each other, but we always push each other to be better, I think. So it was a lot of fun to be able to do that. And it was the same way in Colorado, just getting to work with her and Allie and Nora was fantastic.
So, and again, I got to ask, because, I mean, obviously player movement is going to be a little, going to affect a few teams in terms of what's going on here, but what, do the Lady Hurricanes have another option in net for them now? Did you leave somebody high and dry in terms of not carrying that team anymore? How do they recover not having Kelsey Newman in net?
No, they have, we've always had 3 to 5 goalies on our roster.
I know, I'm just giving...
Because you know, you just never know which one of us can show up to which game.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's always the thing. But who carries the mantle?
Really smart about that.
Who carries the mantle now that you've moved back to Buffalo to play hockey?
I'm thinking that Chelsea and Tiffany are going to carry it.
You can use full names. We're happy to promote them.
I know. I really don't know, though.
Okay, that's fine.
I have to look at my email.
That's okay. Yeah, Chelsea and Tiffany are the odds-on favorite right now. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. You never know. They could have signed someone even better than me, like definitely better than me. So you just never know.
You do never know. That is true. There could be someone.
For all
that comes,
I know,
Bree
could be playing with them, and we would never know.
Yeah,
that.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. You've been coaching, as you said, a number of the teams in Buffalo. So we got to ask. You said Mia's going on to Yale. I don't know who Mia is, but that's okay. We'll probably find out about her soon enough. Are we talking about Buffalo being sort of the next major hotspot for women's hockey in terms of growth, and certainly sending players out to NCAA programs?
That would be amazing. I'm really hoping so, and I'm hoping that whether they stay and play for Buff State, which is a D3 school in the area, yep. or they go outside of New York in general and go and play for some of the other amazing colleges, I'm hoping that we can really start getting more and more. I know there's a lot of girls that go and play NCAA and everything from Buffalo, but I'm hoping to really continue growing that number each year.
Are there, I mean, again, I don't know if you want to, you know, you want to push me as name or anything, but are there anybody that you know of that's coming up that you're going to go, yeah, like she's got the stuff. Like that's a girl that's going to go and play.
You asked that. And of course I'm going to give Mia a shout out.
Sure.
Mia Wendell she's going to be a senior this year, and she's definitely just a kid who overall just so well-rounded, whether she's on the ice or off the ice, great kid off the ice and hard worker on the ice. And she's definitely going to be one to watch, I think. And there's another goalie from the Buffalo area named Emily Finich, who, again, is really hard worker. She's committed to Lindenwood, and she's going into her senior year as well. And then there's definitely some of my really young kids who still have plenty of time before they need to even worry about what college they want to go to.
Emily,
that are up-and-comers for sure.
Is Emily following the Shelley Looney pipeline? Is that what you're saying?
No, she actually committed there way before Shelley.
Oh, okay, that's all right then. I was going to say, Shelley using her contacts in the Buffalo area to find all this hidden talent. That's awesome.
No, Emily and Mia committed very early, and they are both their schools will be very lucky to have those two in that for them.
So we got about 3.5 minutes left, and I want to give you a chance to promote two things. Obviously, let's start with the first one, which is your new hockey school that you're certainly running and certainly in charge of. By all means, take the soapbox and talk about your new venture.
So I started this about 6 months ago, and it's called Tactical Hockey Training by Newman. And where a lot of hockey schools and stuff seem to focus just on hockey, I'm focusing on the players as a whole, whether it's a goalie or a player, obviously primarily working with goalies. I'm also helping kids by mentoring them, whether it's on the ice, dry land, school, life, whatever it may be. I'm always going to be an ear for them to talk to. And this year I will be working specifically with teams as a goalie coach. And then I also, I don't know if I'm really allowed to say it yet, but it was in my signing announcement with NWHL, but I also accepted, actually 2 hours before I accepted the NWHL position with the Buttes, I accepted the goalie coach position with Buff State's women's team. So,
congratulations.
Coming up this year.
Busy.
Thank you.
You're going to be very busy. That's incredible. Wow, that's a huge honor.
Yes, and I'm excited.
Have you worked in Buff State before? Have you been there? I mean, obviously, you've probably been there.
I went on a tour 2 hours before Mandy called me.
Oh, really?
yes, but I know the coach because his daughter plays in the Bisons organization, and before he was with Buff State, he used to help run a girls organization in Buffalo, and before his daughter was a Bison, and I remember I went to one or two practices with his team, and really nice guy, really great guy, and so he got the position earlier in like April, I think, and so I took it, him and I talking and everything, and I was like, yeah, like if you ever need someone and are looking, because he was also a goalie, so I was like, if it's too much for you, I don't mind, and so he brought me on, and I'm excited. One of my goalies that I worked with and I kind of pushed into my program to help develop goalies that are going to be seniors in high school, helping them get their foot in the door for coaching by being volunteer coaches and getting their volunteer hours. One of my seniors from last year is actually going to be going to Buff State as well. So I'm excited to continue working with her. And then their starting goalie I've worked with a few times before she started going to college.
Wow. So you got a pretty good history there with at least some of the Buffalo State people. That's a fantastic job, though. Congratulations on getting in there, because that's sounds like you're going to be on the ice probably more often than not.
Yes.
Last thing I'll let you do, we got about 45 seconds to go here. Anything else you want to promote? Do you want to promote Lift the Mask, or do you want to promote anything else that you're doing? It's all up to you, Kelsey. Promote whatever you want. I'll give you the last minute of the show here to really promote anything else you're passionate about.
That's a lot of pressure. There's so much. No, but I will promote Lift the Mask just because it is such a big part of my life. And just, again, if you ever feel like you're alone and that no one's there, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me or go through the website and just talk to someone and know that you're not alone with whatever you're going through.
And that website, just for people that might be looking for it, thegoalieguild.com/liftthemask. I'll post that on Hockey Blog in Canada and on UMFM's page as well after the show here today. Kelsey, it has been a full hour, and it felt like it was about 5 minutes because we were chatting and having a good time, and they do say... Good time when you're having a good time. Time seems to fly. So I can't thank you enough. You're more than welcome to come back again whenever you like. I know we always have a good time chatting with you. So don't be a stranger. Have a great
season. Officially a friend of the show because you've been here twice.
So. You're the friend of the show status. Look at that.
I feel so honored.
That's awesome. But yeah, no, everything that goes on this season, obviously, I mean, I know you're going to be busy. We'll talk to you probably again next summer because you got million and one things you're going to be doing over the next few months here, but go have a great season, and certainly teach as many people as you can, both in the classroom and on the ice, and let's hope that everybody turns out to be just awesome, because if they're learning from you, chances are that's not going to be hard.
Thank you, guys.
Anything before we let you go, Kelsey, anything else that we should know about? Just one last thing here. I just want to ask a little bit about it, just because, again, it's coming up here, or I guess for the Buffalo State thing. I don't know who plays net there, and I don't know what's going on in terms of a Buffalo State. I'm just sort of looking around here. But are we talking you're gonna NCAA or gonna promote that to Division I? Is that the next goal, or are you guys comfortable being Division III?
I think right now they're comfortable with Division III.
Okay.
I think it's a long process for a D3 to go from D3 to D1.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
That's fair.
I don't know enough about the NCAA stuff yet.
That's okay.
That's my goal the next few weeks. Before October, I have to learn about a lot of stuff.
All right. Well, we'll let you get onto that then for sure. Get your studying done for that. But I can't thank you enough, Kelsey, for coming on. We certainly appreciate it. And by all means, have a great season this year in both the collegiate world, the professional hockey world, and in the classroom as well.
Thank you so much, guys.
Not a problem. Thanks again, Kelsey.
Bye, guys.
Bye. So there is Kelsey Newman with us from Buffalo, or North Carolina, I guess, where she's on holidays right now. But yeah, no, congratulations to her on like a dozen new jobs and a dozen new places to work. So,
like, I got to go to one place to work, and that's way too much for
me. Yeah, I have a hard time getting up for one, and she's going for like a dozen. So congratulations to her. We're going to get out of here, though. We're going to do Skippy's time a little bit here as Free Range Jito starting up right away. So stay tuned for that here on 101.5 UMFM. Another edition of the Hockey Show. Next week, folks, back to regular chatter as we bring everybody up to date in August as to what's going on. So be prepared for that. There's a lot of news to go over, a lot of information to go over. But we'll get out of here with Don't Stop Believin' by Journey, a song picked by our guest tonight in Kelsey Newman, as she's super, super busy, it seems, and we are not. We're going to go out. Enjoy the summer now. See you later, folks. Have a good one. A singer in a smoky room. The smell